Agape's love is like an island. It's life's ocean, vast and wide, a peaceful, quiet shelter from the restless rising tide. A mother's love is like a fortress, and we seek protection there. When the waves of tribulation seem to drown us in despair, a mother's love is like a tower, rising far above the crowd, and her smile is like the sunshine breaking through a threatening cloud. A mother's love is like a beacon, burning bright and with faith and prayer. And through the changing scenes of life, we can find a haven there. For a mother's love is fashioned under God's enduring love. It is endless and unfailing, like the love of Him above. Our scripture this morning is in the New Testament, John chapter 10, verse 22 to 30, and it's on page 104 in your pew hymnal Bibles. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe me because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. You know what these are? I'm not going to ask Diane what they are. They're beautiful favors, but what else are they? Yes. They're gifts of love. They're evidence of someone's love. They're an effort that someone makes for another person. Who was not here Saturday? Tinker's got one. Jane, did you get one? They just gave her one? Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. I knew that I had an extra one. And there are more. You're welcome. And there are more in the social hall. So if you didn't get a favor, go get one, because you don't want to miss out on that special gift. Well, the scripture today is from John, and we're going to backtrack a little bit because obviously we've already celebrated Easter, and we're into that Easter time. But the scripture from John chapter 10 is actually going to the December before his crucifixion, before Easter, because one of the issues is when Jesus comes and brings a message. His message is love. His message is salvation. His message is that God is the supreme and that he is doing God's will. And God's will is that each and every one of you is to be saved. Well, the challenge here also is because salvation and Messiah, the Old Testament Jews, the leaders of the church at the time, and even the people thought that the Messiah who was going to come, who was foretold by the prophets, was going to be a king like King David and like King Solomon. And that, we know, was not to be. Even Jesus, before Pontius Pilate, said this, "My kingdom is not of this earth." He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. So John gives us this discourse. At the time of the festival, the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, around December. And Jesus was walking in the temple, the portico of Solomon. Okay, most times when you get a story, you need to who, what, where, why, and when. Well, the where is in Jerusalem, in the temple. The when is in December. Now, the why and the where, why and the who and the what, we get in the rest of the story here. The Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Well, why do you think they were concerned? Because all the time leading up to this, Jesus has been going around for the last 2.5, almost 3 years, performing miracles. Performing miracles that do what? That demonstrate and fulfill all of the prophecies through all the prophets about Jesus. Not all of them, obviously, because at this point Jesus hadn't been given over to Pontius Pilate and crucified and died and resurrected at that point in time. But Jesus is healed. He's fed 5,000. He's walked on water. He's raised the dead to life, Lazarus and Jairus' daughter. He's fed 5,000 people. He's given blind people sight, even one who'd been born blind. He's healed lepers. He's cured those who are lame. He has worked all of those miracles. He's even walked on water and convinced Peter that he could walk on water even. Now, the leaders of the church of that day knew what he had done. They'd heard of the work. Some of them had even seen them. They'd heard him teach. They'd heard him preach. And yet they're standing there and they're crying out to him. And how long will you keep us in suspense? How many of you like suspense novels or movies? Isn't it, the really good one is the suspense is killing you, right? You are like, gosh, get over. Oh, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? The suspense is killing you. That's exactly what's happening here. These guys are saying the suspense is killing us. When are you going to announce yourself? When are you going to declare yourself as the Messiah and establish the kingdom, kick the Romans out, and bring in another rule of an earthly king like King Solomon or King David? Well, Jesus isn't walking to the beat of that drum. Jesus said, "I've told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep." The great challenge for the people is, even though they've heard, now in this case, chronologically, Jesus has not actually declared himself as Lord and Savior at any point up to this time. You got the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they go chronologically. But John, the Gospel of John, isn't a chronological piece. There are pieces that John picks out and tells us the story of Jesus for emphasis of what Jesus is here for. His message is salvation. His purpose is to do the will of God. And the will of God, look in John chapter 6, verse 30 through 42, and you find out that Jesus' purpose is to do the will of God, and the will of God that none given to him by the Father should be lost, that all will be raised up on that last day. Well, even though he had not plainly said in word, certainly indeed, the works that I do, bless you, the works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. Jesus was doing, performing those miracles not just to show that he could do miracles. I mean, he didn't stand outside Lazarus' tomb to show off. He didn't heal that leper. He didn't heal those 10 lepers, and only one of them came back and said thank you. When he feeds the 5,000 and the 4,000, when he talks to the woman at the well, when he talks to the woman who's about ready to be stoned for adultery. In none of those times, and think of this. You got an angry crowd of people getting ready to stone this woman, and they are all ready to throw stones. And he convinces them that she's guilty of the charges they've brought for her, and the judgment would be, Old Testament, they would stone her. And then he turns it on him because he says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Now that's a miracle. To stop a mob that's ready to slay a person out of anger, out of hate, out of vindictiveness, and he turns it around because he puts the guilt back on them. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. That's what Jesus does. Those are miracles that demonstrate what? That don't demonstrate that he has power and dominion over all things, creatures, creation, people themselves. It demonstrates that he is so different from anything that they've ever encountered before. And he's not dancing to their tune. He's not dancing to the beat of that drum. He is doing what God has sent him to do. And that is that those that are given to him by the Father would not be lost. Read this in verse 26. But you do not believe, he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because you do not belong to my sheep. They have made it a decision on their part not to believe. They're questioning all the time. They don't even believe the blind guy was blind at birth. And they ask him, well, gee, who sinned? Who gave this guy sight? And he says, I don't know, talk to Jesus. He's the one that did it. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will not perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What the Father has given me is greater than all else. What has God the Father given him? One, he gave him a mission. He gave him a purpose. He gave him something that he needed to do. And then he gave each and every one of us from 2,000 years ago up to whenever he comes back. That's what God has given to Jesus. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What the Father has given me, greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. By saying that, Jesus has sealed his doom. The Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees want to condemn him for heresy. Proclaiming to be the Son of God. They want to stone him. They want to take his life. They want to crucify him. But God has a better plan. And that's that he's not going to lose you. And here's the piece. Jesus' sheep know the master's voice. Just like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Not only do we know the Master's voice, but he knows each and every one of us. He knows us down to the finest, smallest molecule in the most unseen part of our body. He knows everything we've done. He knows what we've thought about, the infiniteness of that. Might give cause for some of us, those that say, well, I've never really done anything bad. Well, talk to your mom. She probably knows most of what you've done, even when you didn't think she did. But God knows even more. And yet, Jesus comes for us. But the beauty is, even as he knows us, even as he knows our darkest thoughts, our darkest sin, he loves us. And he loves us enough to go to the cross. And when we receive the bread and the fruit of the vine today, his body which is given, his blood which is shed, we have this blessed gift. His gift to you. That out of, with him in you, there is nothing in this world that you can't overcome. So you should have, even though in the turmoil of life, you should have faith in his presence, his knowledge and wisdom of you, and his never leaving you, because he loves you. He loves each and every one of you guys, no matter what you've been doing. Shalom.